This is FM 100.5 and 101.9. AM 1450, Rutherford County's place to talk. WGNS, Murfreesboro, your good neighbor station. This is The Truman Show with Truman Jones. A look at the politics, news, sports, and people that are shaping Rutherford County. Now your host, Truman Jones.
Good afternoon, Rutherford County. We're going to have a really great show today. I got one of my favorite people on today, Mr. James Clymer. And James is one of these people that he wears many hats, and he's done so many things. He has been a race car driver. He's been a stunt driver. He used to fight in Golden Gloves. He had his own roofing company and still has his own roofing company. And he is one of these people that he is full of grit. He never backs down to anything. He's got more courage than just about anybody I know. And I think Brian.
You said grit. I just wanted to make sure I heard what
true
you said.
Grit. True grit.
Okay.
True grit. You know what I'm talking about. Don't be trying to cause trouble.
I know what Becky says every now and then.
Brian says he's related to you, James. Do you claim that?
Well, I'm going to have to because I got a niece. If I don't go their way, I'm out.
I think I know how that is. And you know, the other night, I had the best time because your grandson was playing shortstop for the opposing team, and my grandson was playing shortstop for our team. And it was a great game, and I was impressed with your grandson. He's got a lot of ability.
Well, I tell you what, dude, when you spoke to him, Truman, you made that kid's day. Now, he believes in us telling him how, you know, he's doing good.
Uh-huh.
But when somebody else like you do, that really made his day. So I think he's going to step it up.
Isn't that funny how they'll listen to somebody that's a total stranger a little bit more than their own grandparents or parents?
Kind of make us jealous, you know.
Yeah, it does. Now, I guess I've got to make a little announcement that the first part of the show is brought to you by At Home Care, and that's Melissa Warren's business. And they come into your home 24/7, take care of all your responsibilities inside the house, and they also run errands for you. And really, they leave you with very little to do except to enjoy your retirement, enjoy life, and just be able to stay home like you always dreamed you could. And give them a call at 713-4639 or pull them up on the internet, www.athomecaretennessee.com, or you can go to their place of business at 237 Castlewood Drive, Suite H, and that's right behind the Kroger's on Memorial Boulevard. It's always good to run into you, James, and I think back a lot of times to the old days when you were boxing and doing a lot of stuff, and you were always one of these people that I really enjoyed being around because things were not always just a smooth, easy path. I mean, we had mountains to climb back then.
We sure did. I tell you, you're speaking right when you're talking about in the older days. I went Saturday night to the racetrack in Nashville and took the Falstaff 55 Chevy. And I had more handshakes, more pictures made than I ever did up here winning all these races.
Isn't that amazing?
It just made me feel 100% better about myself.
You know, people still remember you very well on those racetracks. And you were one of those guys that you did not back down from anything. And I guess I don't know exactly which race car driver to compare you with, but it's more like Dale Earnhardt used to drive because he was kind of a little bit of an intimidator.
Well, you know, I go out and practice with him. I would want to win the practice session. That was the way Dale Earnhardt would do. Mm-hmm. He would rattle their frame before you got him in the big feature. But this serious note, I would like to say my best wishes, and I don't know how in the world to say it, but my family, whole family, and myself, heart goes out to Leanne Ogles, mm-hmm, and her grandmother, Gladys Barrett.
Right.
They lost a mother and a daughter, and I wish them well, and tomorrow will be Gladys's 91st birthday.
Oh, my goodness.
She's lived here in Rutherford County all her life. She knows this city by heart, and I just wish them both well. Jenna Lee had to leave us early.
Yeah, it's always sad, the people that are close to you, and you kind of It's like a part of you goes with them when they go.
Well, I went to the hospital to visit her, Truman. And she looked up at me and said, I'm going home in 2 days. And I really didn't put it together till I got home. Mm-hmm. She wasn't going back to her home where she lived. She was going home in the skies. Yeah. And she seemed like she was ready for it. Had a big smile on her face. And that's all, you know, we wish her well, too.
And as they say, she's in a much better place now than where she was.
That's what Becky said this morning, that she's in a better place than what she were. And I believe that. And we was talking a while ago. I kind of had a confusion about the Lord and Jesus Christ. I always thought it was two people. But after I heard Brother Smitty on the radio station preaching that morning, mm-hmm. I sat there and listened to everything he had. I changed my mind. But I'm glad I talked to you because you kind of got me on the square road, too.
Well, no, it's unusual for me to ever put anybody on the square road, man, Jay.
Well, it's four corners. I make all four corners now. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes, I do. And you were saying something that was quite interesting before we came on. We always talk off the cuff on the radio. It doesn't matter where we're going at the time. But you were talking about Brother Medlock, who Brother George Dehoff were probably the two best known preachers when we were growing up.
If you had a friend, there was two people was your friend, totally, 100%.
Right.
Because there was a few times I was in the hospital, didn't even know I was there. When I woke up, Brother Medlock was there to carry on from there.
You still look pretty good, big boy. The years have been good to you. You've been through a lot of trials, a lot of battles, and you still look good.
Well, I know. I can't comment on that right now. You know what I'm talking about? But anyway, things have been good. If I had to go with it, I'd go the same way I went.
Yeah.
I wouldn't change nothing. And things have been good for me. And I've had some bad times, but the good times outweighs the bad times 100%.
You're like Frank Sinatra. You just did it your way, right?
I did it my way. I like it. Yeah. That's the reason me and Tommy can't get along. Can't drive for me because I do it my way.
Well, you can tell Tommy's your boy just by looking at him. And when you pointed your grandson out, I knew. I said, yep. He's from James.
Yes,
I can tell
sir-y.
That.
Which, you know, I take Tommy far as racing. I put him up against anybody, and if he don't win the show, he'll make a show.
Now, Tommy's still racing.
Yes, Tommy's still racing, and it ain't nobody I've seen so far yet can take a car off in the corner as hard as he can and make it turn left and run him down the chute all the time. He might not have the horsepower all the time at the racetrack, but he has the handling as far as the car is concerned.
Is he a flat-out racer like you used to be?
He drives hard.
Yeah.
Hey, ain't one thing in his mind, that's the checkered flag.
Does he drive on some of the courses that you used to drive on?
He's raced most every racetrack I've raced at. He's been there, except I went to Charlotte one time and ran there. And he went to Owensburg, Kentucky, which I run a lot up there. He's been mm-hmm. there. I think he hadn't been to Huntsville yet. But, you know, that's in the makings. He got some high-dollar equipment, which I was struggling there till I got a hold of that Falstaff Brewer on that 55 Chevy. Mm-hmm. And I picked things up real quick. It's what it takes, money to make you run.
How hard is it to get somebody to support you when you're trying to get your crew together, the car the way you want it? How do you go about getting a sponsor for those things?
You hit the nail on the head. You've got to get that car looking good. Got to get that car to run in a race with competition.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, you go out and win a race, if you ain't got no competition, they don't mean that.
Right.
You got to have the competition. Back in my days, I had them from left to right. George Bennett, Fluky, Buford, just keep on naming them.
Mm-hmm.
They was there. I even run against the Bobby Allison at Hallorium Speedway. And this and things like it, that's a stepping stone for you, which we've done pretty good in our days. I'm proud of it. Like I said, I wouldn't change a thing.
How would you rate Bobby Allison racing against him? Because he was pretty tough.
Bobby Allison was one of the toughest. Hey, you talk about Dale Earnhardt?
Mm-hmm.
Now, that was another man could match him right there, Bobby Allison.
He didn't back down from anybody.
No, he didn't. And, hey, and a good person. That's a second thing for him, a good person.
Now, there only just minute things really kept you out of driving – in the major races for NASCAR. And I guess the number one thing, of course, would be money. And we talk about sponsors and things, and I have known people that actually have gone broke trying to sponsor cars because it costs so much. Why is it so expensive once you get on that level?
Well, you know what, really, when you first bite into it, you've got to have the money to show yourself, show what you are, what kind of talent you got. Somebody will pick you up, but you got to first be able to have enough money to show that. And we just never did get that. We had that sponsorship one time to make our showing, but we lost it. But wasn't nothing to do to our pit crew or nothing like that. We just think things wasn't going right with one certain brewer. One was helping us out with Falstaff, and we lost that sponsorship, and I hated it. But the rest of it started coming out of my pocket, roofing company, and that was rough on me.
Right.
But I love the racing. I love the sport. I love the sport. If I never drive again, I always said I love the sport.
You know, I've been a racing fan for some time, and I try to keep up with as many of the drivers as I can. And, of course, you know Bud Mitchell and his wife Kay, and I always try to be against whoever Kay is for because, you know, it makes competition.
Yeah.
And I've always been interested in what makes the fans really reach out and grab their favorite driver, because you know you had Jeff Gordon going at one time, Dale Earnhardt Jr. still seems to be the favorite of a lot of the fans, and I think that is mostly from his daddy, but of course Jimmy Johnson, and my kids and I, we argue about that, and we can't ever seem to come to terms on which driver we favored. But I know when you drove, you had a big following, a big fan base, and I've always thought that wouldn't it have been great if we could have had somebody locally that had the funds, which I know we're talking about a lot of funds, to get into the NASCAR and actually support you, because there's no doubt in my mind you could have been at the very top level.
Well, that's what it takes, funds. And you also, you got to show them what kind of talent you got. You just can't go out there and sit on a pole and win a race. The fans don't want to see that.
Right.
They won't see that car come up through that pack, rubbing tires, rubbing fenders, shaking it loose, spinning out and coming back in. That's what makes it right there. It's what makes the show.
We'll get back to that right away. We've got a caller on the line. Caller, welcome aboard with James Clymer.
How you doing, Mr. Clymer? This is Mr. Clymer. I just want to talk about another sport that you used to enjoy doing, and that's boxing. And I got a question for you. Do you think Jimmy the Criminal could still whoop me?
No, I don't think so, sir. That's my grandson. That's Tommy's son.
Oh, all right. Nice to talk to you.
It's nice to talk to y'all, too. I just want to let everybody know that, you know, James Clymer has been one of my heroes, so has my father. I never could do the whole racing thing, so I took the fighting thing through with the MMA thing, and couldn't ask nothing better from my granddaddy to teach me a little bit about that boxing that he used to do, and appreciate a lot from him. And I just want to let him know I love him, and James Clymer and my daddy are my heroes, and I love y'all.
Well, son, we love you, guarantee it.
He's got a great hero, and I can tell him right, you were a great boxer. You really were.
I appreciate that, Truman.
You fought some of the toughest guys around here. But let's go back to racing again before we get back to boxing. You know, there are some drivers that seem to irk the fans on purpose. and you know, Kirk and
right,
Kyle.
Exactly.
And you remember, you see, Kyle was the one that won the Music City race over here and busted the guitar that was given him. A beautiful guitar that represented this area and just busted it all to pieces.
I'm going to tell you something. I used to be a Bush fan. When he busted that guitar all to pieces at that racetrack, I didn't mind him running. You know, I was for him for winning the race, but I wasn't for him for doing that because that was big money he throwed away.
Yeah.
He's showing his ignorance, what I say.
I agree with you wholeheartedly.
Sorry.
And Smoke, you know, Tony Stewart.
Right.
This last race at Talladega, which Bud and Kay went to, I'm positive of that. He was so mad at the end of the race, he was blaming a lot of it on the fans, that the only reason that they come there is to watch the wrecks, the carnage of the cars.
That's their money they spend to get in and come watch what they want to.
That's right.
Sorry.
But I don't know why he would have been so upset over the way, as you know, NASCAR, you never know until the last lap or so who's going to win that race.
Well, he just lost the race. That's what ignited him, because he lost the race. He had him a big lead. And, hey, all racers know the big lead don't last. Sometimes you go ahead and win one with a big lead. But most 9 out of 10, this caution is going to come out. Now, why it comes out, we don't know, but they had a reason.
Sometimes it looks a little suspicious, doesn't it?
Yeah, sometimes it looks like it's a competition caution, you mean? Hey, that's great. If he's got the car, show it. That's all I always say, show it.
Yeah, but the situations happen. You know, there are some cars that do better on the long stretch and at that particular time.
Right.
And then there's some on a short run, then they have the advantage. And it seems like sometimes things happen near the end that will give that short run car a little bit of a boost over one that's actually leading.
That's maybe the way they set them up, because they love cautions. They act like they don't love. They love those cautions on a short run. Keep that car in speed. And when it comes down to the nitty gritty with checkered flag, it's always a caution come out, and they had it set up on that short run. It's hard to beat him.
Well, do you think Stewart was right when he was griping about that last yellow flag, when a bottle just happened to be out on the at least that's what he was saying.
Right. Well, you know, in a way, I say, yeah, if somebody threw it out of one of the cars on purpose to get them backed up, I mean, it costed him a race, because he had the car to beat. But after they bumped him up, and Bush had his and set up on a short run, it was bye-bye. And I don't blame him for being mad. I've been mad, too. Hey, $1 million sitting up there waiting on him.
Well, I didn't understand it, because you have a plastic bottle that's laying out on the track that's not going to cause anybody any problems at all.
No, not really. But, hey, would you know it from a plastic bottle or a glass bottle? That's the bottom line right there. You wouldn't know, so that's why they stopped dropped the caution to make sure it wasn't glass.
Now, you used to drive over at Smyrna's racetrack, and that's one track I hated going over there, because it was dusty. It didn't seem like it was a good place to have racing, but you were there just about every Saturday night.
Every Saturday night. This is the good part about Smyrna. You race a while, you get out and fight a while, go back to racing. I mean, that was every Saturday night, and the fans loved it.
Yeah.
The fans loved it.
Who was your biggest rival back during that time?
I got to stick with George Bennett from Franklin, Tennessee, which he's passed away and went on to Race Car Heaven. He's a good dude. George Bennett, Little Joe Mangrum. Tony Moody was a tough dude back in them days. And my brother, Glenn, he drove at Smyrna. He was strong. Most everybody that raced there at Smyrna had to be tough.
Well, you even had to be tough to get the cars out back on the road, because I used to have to stand there and work traffic for you guys coming out. Nobody could see me for all the dust. I ended up on the front end of a number of cars out there just trying to direct traffic. I said, surely they're not trying to run over me on purpose.
You know, we run at Smyrna, and we run at Highland Rim, and we got some of the best news you could ever hear about Highland Rim. We had three business people, businessmen, to purchase a track, and they're going to change it. They're going to take it to the next level. These people mean business. That's Jerry Criswell of ARP, Stock Car Products, Buddy Williams of U.S. Motors there in Nashville, right there on Marshboro Road. And I hope he don't get mad at me, but I can't think of Mr. Cunningham, Roger Cunningham. He's a businessman. Now, this man here is up to par. I can't remember what his business is, but he is up. They are opening a track July the 7th with a 50-lapper late-model race. And, buddy, if you don't believe that's going to be a race, be there, because it's a lot of people in Rufford County, Davidson County, Kentucky, loves Highland Rim, and that's the best news we've heard in a long time, that the rim will be open from here on.
Now, tell the people that are not familiar with Highland Rim, exactly where it is.
Well, you go to the interstate like you're going to Louisville, Kentucky, and get off of exit 105 and follow your nose because you're going into a Saturday night racetrack. That's what they call it, Saturday night under the lights racetrack.
And there's still a lot of people that go to Highland Rim. In fact, that was probably the place to go when we were growing up.
Exactly right. And I'll tell you what it's done. It's got Mike Barrett. I know you know Mike Barrett down here, Barrett's Automotive and Record Service. Mm-hmm. He's coming out of retirement and going to make that first race.
Wow.
Now, he's got a lot of fans. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
And so if my driver decides, if he keeps on talking, he's going to get the car hooked up where I can drive it, I might just meet him
there. I'd love to see
him. I might just meet him there. You know what?
You're not making a promise, though, right? Now.
Well, no, not really. I just... We got to get make sure that car is hooked up. I can drive it. I can run a stop sign now and I almost have a heart attack.
What kind of car are you going to have this time?
We got a 2006 Monte Carlo.
Uh-huh.
We took it to Nashville this past Saturday night. Had a good run going. Then she got hot. He pulled it out. That's what I like. Mm-hmm. Saved me money.
Right.
He pulled it out. So we're going to change motors in it and do some more changing. Maybe put a electric fan on it to get it up to par where we can stay out there. And I'm tell you, he impressed me. Looked like my son coming through them corners, never backing down, and just enough to get off that throttle and get it to turn, and out she went. He really impressed me.
What's the most important thing when you're running a track that size? Is it top speed? I know handling has a lot to do with it. Say it's your car. What would be the top speed of your car right now?
I think they'll run about 105, 110 mile an hour on qualifying. They might slow down about 100 mile an hour. But, hey, you run off in a corner 100 mile an hour, you better have her hooked up, especially at Nashville Speedway, because you'll gather you some wings in and leave us.
I think we've got another caller on the line, James. Caller, welcome aboard with James Clymer.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. How are
you?
Hey, Butch. Well, I hope.
Yeah.
I got two comments, Truman, to you and James. The first thing, James was talking a little while ago about family. And I want to tell you, I don't know which grandson was playing ball the other night, but I can tell you one, Bobby, that was at Walter Hill, certainly does thank an awful lot of his grandfather.
Mm-hmm. You were telling me that.
I finally found out that was true, and I think, James, you told me that. And when I went back to school and said something to Bobby about it, and he looked up at me like, do you know him? And I said, oh, yeah, I know him very well. Went to school with him. And ever since then, every time I would see him in the hall, and all I had to do was mention grandfather, and that boy's eyes lit up, and he was ready to go, doing whatever he needed to do. So there's another fan that you've got anyway.
Well, I'm going to tell you something, bud. I appreciate you talking me in, putting this right set of tires on my trailer. I can go now to the racetrack and not worry about the Maypops on it.
All right, now here's my question. You were talking about sponsors and expense and all, and for those of us that are not in that sport, give me a ballpark figure, kind of talk a minute, if you will, please, on the expense part of the car racing, whether it's at the old Smyrna track or whether it's at Bristol or wherever the case may be, and I'll hang up and listen.
Well, mostly on these short tracks, you might get by with $25,000. That's if you don't have to buy two or three motors.
Wow.
Now, these days, they've changed those over to crate engines. Best thing could happen to racing. But they've kind of let it get out of order. But Highland Rim Speedway is going to change all that, and that's going to be the best move we can. And if you go to one of them high-dollar motors, it's going to cost you $100,000 a year to run a race car.
And you talk about $100,000, but then you take all your crew, everybody, all the expenses, and then you're going to have wrecks. You're going to have damage to the car. It is an extremely expensive business. It's probably you're never going to make money.
Never gain it back. A sport that you love, you don't mind investing in it.
Yeah.
You never get it back. I've tried to get it back. You can't get it back. I can win all the races, every race, and still couldn't get it back.
We'll be back on that subject in a minute. We're going to take a quick break.
Mm. know, it's symbolic of you tossing your hat into the ring.
You're just graduating, not running for office.
Dad, why do college graduates toss their caps into the sky?
Actually, it started in the Navy when midshipmen became officers.
This May, thousands of Hope Scholars will toss their caps into the sky. And with over $2.3 billion raised for education by the Tennessee Lottery, that's a lot of winners.
You'll learn something new every day.
I knew it all along.
Congratulations, Hope Scholars. For information about scholarships and grants, visit seehowitaddsup.com.
I think they were originally made of sheepskin.
Actually, I think it was parchment.
Dad, why do they call diplomas sheepskins?
Well, in the old days, paper was brittle, but parchment made from sheepskin was used because it lasted longer.
This May, thousands of Hope Scholars will receive college diplomas. And with over $2.3 billion raised for education by the Tennessee Lottery, we've taken higher education even higher.
How'd you get to be so smart, Dad?
I had a scholarship.
Congratulations, Hope Scholars. For information about scholarships and grants, visit seehowitaddsup.com.
This is Good Neighbor Events, brought to you by AmeriCare Pest Control, the Rutherford Home Show, Saturday mornings at 11:30 on WGNS, and the Omni Hot Restaurant in Smyrna.
If you're planning to buy a home, choose a professional that will look out for you. Ann Hoke & Associates has a proven track record of helping guide clients through the home buying experience. Whether buying your first home, moving up, downsizing, or investing, Ann's team will help you do it right. When it's your time to buy or sell, just ask Ann.
This is Ann Hoke of Keller Williams Realty. I would love to personally talk with you. Call me today at 397-4024. Sell faster and buy smarter with Ann Hoke & Associates.
Let's check those Good Neighbor events. On hot days, fans and air conditioners actually do save lives. If you need one, call the Cool Aid Program. Dwight Ogleton is there to help you. Or if you'd like to donate a fan or an air conditioner or some money to purchase one, you can also contact Dwight Ogleton. His number is 818-2459. And why don't you get some good, healthy exercise and walk the Greenway? In fact, sign up for the Murfreesboro Parks and Recreation Department's Greenway 100, where you walk 100 miles between now and May 19th of next year. For information, call the Murfreesboro Parks and Recreation Department at 893-2141. And Dan Whittle's photo exhibit at the Art Center of Cannon County will be May 25th through June the 30th. That's in the Marley Burger Gallery. Oh yes, the International Folk Fest will be in town, June the 10th through the 17th. Go to our website, WGNSradio.com, and click on Local Events for all the locations. Locally grown fresh farm produce every Tuesday and Friday mornings from 7 until noon at the Farmer's Market. That's over at the Lane Agri Park. Those are Good Neighbor Events.
We make important choices in our lives every day. You owe it to yourself to make an informed decision about where to receive cancer treatment. The Cancer Center at Middle Tennessee Medical Center offers the area's only accredited program. That means it meets the high standards set by the Commission on Cancer. We consider it a blessing to provide you with the very best care available. To locate an MTMC physician, call 284-LIFE. Why choose any place else?
He knows Rutherford County as good as anybody. Truman Jones. It's the Truman Show here on WGNS AM and FM.
And welcome back with us. Have Mr. James Clymer on, and he's our star today. And we want to let you know that this portion of the show is brought to you by Gordon Ralston Photography, and that's at 315 Hickerson Drive in Murfreesboro. And you could reach them at 396-8776 or on the internet, www.gordonralstonphoto.com. And that's Al Gordon, a master craftsman photographer, and Larry Ralston, certified craftsman. And they're both hometown guys and are the most awarded studio in the Middle Tennessee area, operating a full-service photographic studio in Murfreesboro. You probably remember Larry Ralston, don't you?
Yes, sir, I sure do. Yeah. Yes, sir.
And he's done some great photos, even for our class. You know, we had our 50th class reunion,
right.
and he made a great picture.
He made a picture of my sister when she graduated from high school. And that's one of the finest pictures I've seen in a long time. I mean, that's for years and years back.
Oh, yeah. And they specialize in weddings, high school seniors, as James was saying, family portraits, and their work is classic yet current with a creative edge. Al was even awarded the Grand Award for the best wedding image in the world. Gordon Ralston, they look forward to meeting you and treating you like family, and I guarantee you they always do. Now, we were talking about money. Of course, money is always a big subject, no matter what you get into. But you were talking about $100,000 for a car when you get into those big races. But it's got to be more than that, because if we start looking at the overall
I'm talking about just a local run.
Oh,
local run. You better have $5 million in your pocket if you go Winston Cup. $3 million with the Busch cars.
Do you think $5 million could get you through a year with a car?
No, that's what I'm saying. $5 million a year.
Yeah.
Each year they got to come up with $5 million plus. Now I'm sure it's a whole lot more now. Back when it was Dale Earnhardt, because I heard Dale telling, got to have $5 million to get on this racetrack.
Don't you wish when you were driving local, and I'm sitting here listening to you talk about how much it cost, and it's kind of making pains go down my back, because I don't know how in the world you survived having to pay all that much money, spend all that much time that you had to do. It's almost like you're running a losing corporation.
Well, I hit it pretty lucky, Truman. I had people like Marvin Adams Speed Center sponsor me. I had German Potee's Plumbing out of Springfield Plumbing, one of the best sponsors I ever had. He's been with me over 25, 30 years.
Wow.
And, I mean, he's got a good business, which he knows how much he can go with it. Mm-hmm. And that's what helps us local drivers to find somebody else to help us along. If I had it come out of my pocket now, I couldn't make it. I couldn't make it. Because I'm driving a Social Security check, and it ain't nowhere close to that.
But the sponsors, they are able to retain more customers because of you. And it's always amazing to me that you know how important the sponsors are, say, at the NASCAR track, because of the winner, when he comes out of his car, the first thing's out of his mouth, he wants to think, and then he starts going by all the sponsors.
Right.
I don't know how they remember them. They must have to rehearse that all the way down the line.
Got to, man, because some of them's got a bunch of sponsors and got a lot of money behind them. You know what I'm talking about? If they don't miss enough sponsors, they might not be on that car the following year. That's one reason this Springfield Plumbing, we love him. And Jeff Higdon's my driver out of Laverne. His daddy used to run with us in Smyrna. Charlie Higdon, his name was Richard, but we called him Charlie. Number four car. One of the finest persons you could meet. He never had nothing bad to say with nobody. He'd race you clean. You could run all over him, still race you clean. That's the kind of person they are.
Did you ever race against Bud Mitchell?
No, I never did. I raced against some of Bud's cars down. Bud used to put some good cars out there.
Uh-huh.
And I'm sorry, we got his thing mixed up. Bud wanted to give me a set of – he didn't give me a set of tires. He sold me a good set of tires to start the season off, and I appreciate that.
You know, Bud is one of the best drivers I've ever seen driving backwards. Now, he was in my driveway, and my driveway is one of those that – you can't turn around in it, and it makes a real quick curve at the end, and you have to go through two brick that hold lamp
columns
on top of
right,
before
yeah.
you get to the road.
Yeah.
And my wife was screaming at him, "Bud Mitchell, turn around in the grass. Don't try to back out," because someone had hit our bricks at one time and tore them all to pieces. So what does Bud do? He floorboards it backwards and makes it through untouched.
Untouched.
Yeah. Unbelievable. But he would have been a great race car
driver. He showed you he had the talent to drive a race car.
Yeah.
And I'm sure Bud did, you know, drive at Smyrna sometimes. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's been so long. It's a lot of stuff happened there. A lot of it I want to forget.
All right. Now, let's get back to boxing some. Now, you must have been, 11 or 12 years old when you first started boxing?
Yeah, when I first started, Joe, I did. I loved it, I'm telling you.
Now, who was it that started the Golden Gloves boxing around here? Because I can't remember who were the coaches when you guys first started getting into that.
Well, the first coach was Lee Wayne Riley's daddy. You know, Riley's daddy was a boxer and a good boxer, which Lee Wayne was too.
Yeah, Lee Wayne was quick.
Right, sure was. And then Mr. Holloway come in on a spot, and he kept us for a while. And then we went to man, I can't even think his name. His son boxed with him too. Last name was Barrett. Mm-hmm. Can't think of his first name, but he was a boxer himself.
Uh-huh.
And then Bun Pitts, you remember Bun Pitts?
Right.
He trained us. We had a lot of good boxers, coaches come in there and help us out. Everybody wanted to start a boxing team here in Rufford County. That's something we was lacking, and we started. Later on in years, it faded out, and then I picked it up because I love boxing. I picked it up as a coach and had a pretty good team turned out.
Now, where did you do most of your bouts here in Murfreesboro? I know you did a lot at the Hippodrome in Nashville.
We fought at Max Fedden's Community Center, filled that place up. Then we go to the ballpark out there off Old Fort High, Port Park. What is it? I can't remember what it's the ball. You know what the ballpark?
Yeah, the one that the Salem Pike almost runs right into it.
Just as you get start over the river bridge,
uh-huh.
and you get down there to the first lights, you have to turn in there. That park in there, it's got a park there too.
It's gone right on my head. I hate to say that, but it has.
It has me too. I done forgot that we put up a lot of fights out there. Had some good crowds there too, and we fought at. We go to Franklin fight, go to Nashville fight, Lebanon. When we circled around, we worked it out where we'd have different schedules to help us out. And we done pretty decent on funds, but you had to pay a lot of expense out for the other teams coming in. You didn't mind that because you love the sports and you want to see them kids do what they want to do. And that's what it was all about, the kids.
Now, when you fight in Golden Gloves, of course, you would be in a weight class, and then you would have, it's kind of like a regional or district, but then you would end up in Nashville.
Right.
Because the Hippodrome was doing a lot of the championship
fights. That's where the Golden Gloves was held, the Golden Glove Champions.
Yeah.
I won 147-pound novice. Then the following year, I thought I was good. And I run into a guy in Nashville called Stan Allen, one of the best attorneys.
Oh, I remember his name.
One of the best attorneys in Nashville, to us anywhere. I run into him. I run too quick. Because he stuck it out there, and I went to the mat. I tried to shake it off. Referee said, no, it's over. And it was over. I think it was in the second round. The first round, I kind of roughed him up, and he just set me up. When I come out there at the second round, I was coming charging, and he shut my lights.
You know, you see these fighters get out there, and they just really, some of them just take a beating. I mean, they look like somebody got an axe
right.
hold of them. But what a lot of people don't realize is, I guess it's part of your nervous system. When that first punch comes in hard, you don't feel too much after that.
No, you sure don't.
It kind of stuns you.
You're right.
Who was the best fighter here in Murfreesboro that you ever fought?
Well, I tell you, Lionel Zumbro, you remember him?
Oh, well.
Son, he was a class act.
Yes, he was.
In anything he done, as a person you meet on the street, he was still Lionel Zumbro. I'll never forget his mom and dad. They always with a big smile when they seen us coming down. We lived there pretty close to them. They run that grocery store on Kenton Street. But Lionel was a classy fighter.
And
Lee Wayne, and I consider myself right there third place with him. And
you've named some pretty good fighters.
Don Warren, let me tell you something. That was one. But I trained one. I trained one myself, Ricky McCullough.
Mm-hmm.
If things hadn't went wrong in his life, he'd been fighting for his championship.
Wow.
Tommy was a Golden Glove thrower too.
Yeah.
I carried him to Chattanooga, and they didn't have somebody to fight their champion up there. And Tommy said, "Hey, Dad, let me fight. I just got out of training at Riverdale football." Let me fight him. I said, I'm going to throw the, if he starts to get it on you, I'm going to throw the flag in. I mean, the towel. He said, well, okay, give me a shot at him. Tommy won the champion. He didn't win a championship. He beat the champion for that night, and they was kind of looking down on us. But after that fight, they give us our free passes to the motel and the eats and everything else. Made us feel welcome at that Golden Glove tournaments. I won't count on Tommy putting it on the champion. I won't never forget it. Never forget it. Because I thought the guy was just too much for him. You know what I'm talking about?
Right.
Because he, when thinking about it, being in training, when you work out on that football field, for football, you work.
Right.
You know what I'm talking about? And
right.
He was in pretty daggum good shape.
Well, you had a lot of the guys that played for Mr. Pate. that went into Golden Gloves. Because, of course, Mr. Pate, he was pretty tough. he was strict, and it's kind of like a passage into manhood when you went into Golden Gloves and played football right. and those other things like that. So you had a good structure. You have a lot of kids that will go into karate and, you know, martial yeah. arts and those type things. And in the long run, you know, it means a lot to you. And one of the people that you mentioned, Lionel Zumbro, turned out to be one of the best heart surgeons in the world.
You got that right, buddy. I can look up to that big guy. I tell you, look up to him. And you talk about Mr. Lee Pate. He didn't care what other sports you played, but when you played football for him, you played it his way. That's the only way you could play.
You did everything his way.
Sorry, that's the truth.
You've had a lot of great role models, and one of them is one of my favorite people in the whole wide world. And he's gone on now, Mr. Joe B. Jackson. You worked for him for a pretty good while, and I know you have the same amount of respect for him that I do. I mean, it's just amazing.
That's one fella you could depend on. He tried to help everybody. As long as you work with him, he worked with you. You know, he helped people that you wouldn't believe that nobody else would. You know what I'm talking about? Mm-hmm. But he'd help them. He'd pay their rent. He'd buy their groceries. I mean, that's just the kind of person Joe B. was. And that Joe B. meant something. You know what I'm talking about? He was our mayor here for a long time.
Yeah, he was.
Sir-ree.
And a lot of people started their own small businesses that had worked for him.
Sir-ree.
You were one of them.
Yes, sir.
And you were in the roofing business for a long time.
Right. And Glenn, he started his business. He worked for Joe B.
Right.
And Bobby Flemings. It's a lot. Like you say, it was a lot of guys that worked for Joe B., learned to trade, and went on bigger. If I said bigger, I didn't get to all that big, but I tell you one thing, I love my racing. It starts with R, and I love my roofing too, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Sorry.
Helped pay for the racing, didn't it?
It did.
You also went into the bonding business, and you think back, you're talking about racing, you're talking about roofing, and then you're talking about bonding business. When did you ever have any peace of mind? Because there's so many things going on there.
Yeah. Now, a lot of people's got that figured wrong. James Clymer is Tommy Clymer's name. He's the man in the bonding.
Mm-hmm.
And he's the man that's asking for help. He's got a guy that's jumped on him.
Oh.
Run on him. And I just wished he would think about it and come on, give himself up. He don't need those bounty hunters to find him. He needs to come on in here and do his time. He's unproved. He was guilty because he run. And he's got his parents' house tied up. He's got his aunt. He's got everybody tied up. He's got the bonds tied up. But it's going to come around. And Tommy told me his name. Tommy, you better call in here and tell us. Because I've got it. I know it's Steve. Steve.
Well, let's don't say it unless you know for sure.
Okay, let's don't do it. Okay. Right, yeah, okay.
Yeah. But you were in the bond business for a pretty good while.
No, I never was. No,
I thought you were in the bond.
That was Tommy. That's Tommy. Glenn is one's in the bond business.
Oh, okay.
Now, Glenn's been there for a long time.
Yeah.
Now, like you said.
Now, how did I get that mixed up?
I don't know. I didn't want that telephone ringing in the middle of the night. No, sir. I had enough headaches racing and roofing.
Yeah, a lot of people don't realize that bonding business, you think of bondsmen and you make some pretty good money.
Right,
because,
but you earn it.
But you're, when the person that's paying you to represent them in the bonding side of the business, they're only paying you a maximum of 10%. That's the most that you can claim.
Right, exactly.
But when it comes time to pay up, when the judge says you will pay now,
yeah,
you pay 100% of whatever that was. If it's a $100,000 bond, then the most that you will be able to collect is $10,000.
Right.
But the government will collect $100,000 off of you once.
Yeah,
the,
there you go. There
so,
you go.
So I think you're pretty smart to stay out of
it. I stay out of it. And Tommy, I'm going to tell you, turned out to be my brother Glenn's a good bondsman, but Tommy turned out to be a good bondsman. Hey, it's like a bad business mistake he made, you know what I'm talking about, a deal. I'm just hoping that somebody can help him out and call him and tell him something. Let's get this guy off straight. I wish I could remember his name, Tommy, but I can't.
Now, you and I are about the same age. Have you decided to quit climbing on roofs in that hot sun and in the cold weather? Are you still in the business of roofing?
Well, I'll tell you something. I was over here on Walnut Street about middle of last year. the old log cabin that used to be the hospital of Ruff County.
Yeah.
I was over there doing a roof. I went up on one elevation, looking to the boys, see how things are going. Mm-hmm. And I stepped down on another elevation, fell through the bad decking.
Mm-hmm.
And if my foot hadn't hung on a rafter, I'd have went head over on a concrete floor, and my days would have been done. That's when I'd have quit roofing. But I love it. I love roofing. Man, I'm telling you.
We used to live over in Riverbend, and if you know Riverbend, those roofs are slanted really sharply coming down.
Right.
And that's one thing. I used to watch those guys go out there. And how in the world do you get any stability on a roof that looks like it's just slick as glass and you can just come down? And I know there are a lot of accidents that happen because of that.
Oh, yeah, all the time. But they've got ladder jacks with tow boards on them. Hey, they've got a lot of stuff here now to make roofing safe. We used to have to take a sponge and stand on them steep roofs, tear them off and put them back. A sponge, set on a sponge, and hoping we never get a slide off. But now they've got equipment to make it safer for the roofers.
That used to be a big business. And when
it still
is. You were in a small business at that time, and when you first started, I know that you did pretty well.
Right. Made a good comp of living.
And then the building took a hit. And then things started changing. We'll get right back to that in just a second because we've got another caller on the line.
Okay.
Caller, welcome aboard with James Clymer.
Well, thank you. It's Tommy Clymer.
Hey, Tommy.
Yeah, that guy we're looking for, his name is Stephen Eugene Beck. He's a 42-year-old out of Lebanon, Tennessee. Got some real serious charges against the guy, and we sure need to find him because we got about 9 bondsmen up here in Murfreesboro fixing to lose our business because of this fool.
Yeah. I hate that big guy.
Oh, I know. Really it's legalized gambling, all it is.
Nasty. You're going to be at Highland Rim.
Are you going to be at Highland Rim?
Yeah. I'll be up. I'm going to run the sports division up there. I don't think I'll run the late ball. I think I'll let the king handle that deal. I'll run the sports.
And you're talking about the king. Are you talking about Daddy?
Yeah, talking about the king, James Clymer.
That's what he was called. I guess he still is.
Yeah, I got. I'm playing Papa today. I got Boston Oliver and Shy Clymer with me. And I had to put them on the side of the road because, well, they loud.
That's two more baseball players. But yeah. Cha-Cha, she don't care where she plays, not long as she's on the field.
Well, hope you do well on that, Tommy.
Well, I hope we do, too. I thought we'd call in. And I know you got your hands full there. I know that.
I'm having fun.
I can tell you later. Somebody's going to listen.
All right, we got another caller on the line, James. Caller, welcome aboard with James Clymer.
Hey, is that me?
That's you.
Hey, Truman, I'm very excited to hear you got James on. He's my favorite cousin. I'm Jack Bailey, Bailey Construction.
Yeah.
Hey, James.
Hey, buddy.
How you doing, buddy?
Getting along pretty daggum good right now, I'm telling you. I enjoy this radio station.
Yeah, good to hear you. You're still kicking. Remember our Clymer reunion, you know about that now.
Yes, sir.
Coming up in September.
September. I'll be there.
Oh, that'd be neat.
All right, buddy. Good to talk to you. Glad to hear you. Thank you, Truman.
Thank you, Jack.
Thank you for calling.
All right. We have another caller on the line. Caller, welcome aboard with James Clymer.
Hello?
Hello. Hey, go ahead. It's my daughter.
Granddad?
What about Granddad? Oh, it's the twins here. Go ahead.
No, I'm Shy.
Oh, that's Shy. That's Shy. That's Tommy's granddaughter. Now, we fixed to get beat up.
Don't you say that on the radio.
Hey, did that make you feel good to hear your granddad on the radio?
I will get you. turn the radio
up. The radio's on, hon. What you want me to say? When are y'all playing ball again?
Tomorrow?
I'm sorry, honey. I'll be down in Laverne working on a race car trying to get it ready.
All right. Good to talk to you, hon.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye. Now we have another caller on the line. Caller, welcome aboard with James Clymer. Welcome aboard, caller.
Hello?
Yes, hi.
Yeah, this is Teeth McCullough.
Teeth McCullough, yeah.
Oh.
He a first cousin, not a third cousin, first cousin.
I just want to know if you still doing roping.
Yes, sir.
Hey,
yes, sir, I'm still.
You still driving race cars?
Nope. Now, just like I told you earlier, I can run a stop sign now and almost have a heart attack. Now, I ain't going to take no chance on racetrack.
Well, hey, buddy.
Hey.
Hey, how you doing there? I just want to talk to you, buddy.
Thank you for calling. Same to you, buddy.
You'll always be the king.
All right. I like that.
Buddy. See you later.
Okay, man.
Now, you and Richard Petty are going to have to fight for that title now.
Hey, couldn't meet a nicer person than Richard Petty.
I've
met him time after time.
Yeah.
And Cale Yarber.
Mm-hmm.
You just can't meet better people than that.
No. Great bunch.
Yes,
we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with James Clymer.
Some of you might have heard of the Doughboy Challenge for Charity. Well, it's back. I'm Katie, and I work for General Mills here in Murfreesboro, and I'm excited for this year's 7th annual Doughboy Challenge, a 5K run to raise money for 3 local charities. This year, we are partnering with Nash Vegas Rollers, the Exchange Club, and CASA of Rutherford County. Last year, we raised over $35,000, and this year, our goal is over $50,000. On June 9th, be a part of our 5K on the Square. Bring the kids and be a part of our local Murfreesboro community. If you have questions or want to register, check out DoughboyChallenge.com.
Southern Community Bank, unlike all the rest. Beverly Barker, branch manager.
Southern Community Bank is a strong, independent community partner with a simple philosophy. Keep banking hassle-free for people who just want to be treated well.
We're unlike all the rest. Our services are intuitive. Our team is friendly. Our approach is refreshing. And our service is clearly unique.
We're located at 1950 Old Fort Parkway, next to the DoubleTree Hotel.
Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
The Truman Show now continues on the Voice of Rutherford County, WGNS, AM and FM.
And we're right back with James Clymer, and we're down to just about a minute to go. But James, tell me a little bit now. Tommy's going to go to Highland Rim and race coming up. So tell everybody when that is going to be. And you told me how to get there a minute ago, but tell them again, because there's a lot of people really not familiar with Highland Rim.
Right. You go to Nashville, and you head out of Nashville, like going 65 to Louisville, Kentucky. You get off on exit 105, and Tommy, just follow your nose once you get off on the exit, and follow your nose to the racetrack. Mm-hmm. Tommy's going to be running Sportsman, and they've got a Sportsman class up there. It's red hot. They run like late models. Mm-hmm. And my car will be driven by Jeff Higdon out of Laverne in a late model, pro late models. And they'll have some more divisions. Have a good night of racing. And they've got a dress code. They've got a bunch of rule changes. It's going to make Highland Rim the track to race in the future.
Now, if you get there early, do they have refreshments and all that? What do they have there?
They're going to have one of the best concession stands ever. And I'd like to mention Roger Dodger. He got a little rough deal first night in Nashville. We're going to get it worked out for him. But I still got to give Tony Famosa, his brother Nicky, his wife Dana, and Clara, and their bunch for putting that track back up what they have the last 2 weeks. That's going to prove to the fire board at Nashville Raceways should stay where it's at. And if we lose it, we're going to lose a lot of people.
Now, what about the track that we were supposed to get, and it actually went over into Wilson County instead of us? You can always look back and be a quarterback and say, what would have happened if this had occurred? But I've thought a lot of times, I still am a little bit frustrated because we did not get that track over here. Because I think the track would still be going real well if it was in Rutherford
County. If it had been in Rutherford County, the track would still been on track, right?
Do you think that there would always been that possibility of that becoming one of NASCAR's stops?
It would have. It would have 100%. Because now you see tracks are getting some of NASCAR racing
mm-hmm.
that they didn't have before. Maybe two or three. I don't think it'd be over three. It'd be two. But if we could have got that track in Rutherford County, we would have been on top of it.
Did you ever drive at Bristol?
I run it. No, I didn't run it Bristol, but I run it Kingsport, uh-huh. And it's just like Bristol. You got to put the foot on it and stay on it. I run with LD Ollinger, one of the toughest dudes up there, and I can't think of his name right now. It's number 70. Well, anyway, I run with some top dogs up there, and I run good. And I just had back in them days, a limited late model sportsman. Mm-hmm. And I run with them. I even pull myself to the lead in a 300 lap up there and led it 117 laps to the transmission come out. But I had Falstaff here behind us. And, you know, it takes money to run. And we made a good showing that day, and things were picking up for us. And then later on in the year, we kind of fell out on it.
Now, the tracks are so slanted. I have had people tell me that it takes a while to get used to driving on a track that you could almost park on it and just slide right off of the into the infield.
Well, you know, they just wasted a lot of asphalt, all I can say, because most of them run in the bottom. You got the fastest way around a racetrack is in the bottom. And Carthage, you know, they opened up a racetrack at Carthage. Mm-hmm. It was on track doing good, and things fell out with it. But it was a high bank track. If they'd have cut that bank, the banking down some, and straight away, they would have had a track still going right today.
But wouldn't it make it a whole lot tougher to negotiate passing around that particular individual? I'm not talking about just knocking him out of the way.
Hey,
now.
That's what happened. When you run up on that high side and come off, them guys, the bottom's coming to them, they're going to put you in a wall. It ain't no other way around it.
Well, you know, the drivers are always talking about how much they love Bristol.
Right.
But to me, it's like in one of these bumper car races that you see. You're constantly making contact with someone because I think one of the things is they don't really get up to the speed enough where they're going to really – you feel like that you're going to be killed or maimed or something like that. But I still remember the day that I was watching Dale Earnhardt at Daytona.
Right.
And for the life of me, when I saw that race – And when he went into the wall, it went almost directly into the wall, I wouldn't have thought that he would have even been injured. I have never – of course, I know that the head-on impact is a whole lot worse, but he had been told or given an opportunity to wear one of those neck braces,
well,
which he refused.
Hey, here's something else a lot of people told on me, that he's bad about taking last five laps, taking his seat belts off, and that's a very possibility that could have happened to Dale. At that particular time, and everybody kind of looked down on Sterling. Sterling didn't have anything to do with it.
No,
if Dale had got through that wreck, been right, he'd have told him Sterling didn't have anything. He was racing. That's racing. That's the reason they call it racing.
I think he was more in a defensive mode to let his man win that day.
That's what it was all about, to put his two cars up front. And that's what it was all about. Because me and my wife at the time, Jennifer, was there when it all happened. Mm-hmm. And, boy, the crowd was down on Sterling, but Sterling didn't have anything to do with it. But they finally realized what really went on. They, you know, Sterling's back on top. That was another race car driver. He raced at Nashville with us.
Yeah, Cuckoo did too, didn't he?
No, Cuckoo was the toughest, I am telling you. And Sterling's racing in Nashville now since they got these seven races to go. And I just really believe, Truman, with the way that everybody turned out for the first race and second race, the fair board's going to take this in consideration that we need not only the fans, but they need that track to stay there. And we hoping and praying.
Are they making enough noise to get them to keep it there?
Well, now that they
own, I think a lot of the
against
it are the people that live over in that area.
Right, exactly. But I believe this right here, the fair board made them money the opening night and the second night for charging $5 a car. Mm-hmm. Most of the fans don't worry about that, don't have any problem with it. Some of them do. But, you can overcome it. You know what I'm talking about? Mm-hmm. I just believe that the fair board are looking over.
Now, what's tougher, driving on the track at Highland Rim or one of the smaller racetracks, or driving in Murfreesboro trying to get it from one side of the town to the other?
Hey, that's hard to say. I think Murfreesboro is the hardest way to get in and out. Yes, sir.
I think sometimes maybe we all need to take some race or some driving instructions on the racetrack before we actually get out on the road. What do you think?
Yeah, you kind of like me. I'm sitting four cars back my red light. Well, these people been sitting there for 30 minutes. They're still sitting there with a green light on.
Yeah,
you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
That's the hardest part about it.
One of these days, we're going to do a show, And what are the 20 most frustrating things that you run into when you're driving in traffic?
Okay.
I'll guarantee you we'll do that.
You ain't. Okay, man.
And we'll see you guys next Monday. And next Monday, we're going to have Dr. Hugh Berryman on, and he is our Indiana Jones anthropologist at MTSU and is into a lot of forensic science. It's going to be a great show.
Thank you, Truman. Have me on.